Now presenting.
And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
The Cinema Chicks Podcast.
Maybe I'm one of those people that has always wanted to do it, but it's like a pipe dream.
Totally bug it.
Snap out of it.
Starring Hope Johansson.
I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman.
And Madeline Rancourt.
Yeah, call me Lady Bird like Christine. You said you would.
Hey, I'm Madeline.
And I'm Caleb.
And
we are not the Cinema Chicks.
Caleb, I'm so happy to have you back on the podcast. I feel like this movie that we're talking about today, spoiler alert, we had talked about seeing when we saw the other films that you were on the podcast for. This was a trailer, and it was one of the many that we turned to each other and were like, oh, we have to go see that, which I say that about every movie, but I think this was one that I didn't feel like I was dragging you to. So that was exciting for me. I was like,
no,
okay.
I feel like I was dragging you to this one.
A little bit, but like I also have AMC Stubs and I love movies, so like I'll go see anything. So I was excited to see this with you. Spoiler alert is directed by Michael Showalter, and the screenplay is by David Marshall Grant and Dan Savage, and it's starring Jim Parson, Ben Aldridge, and Sally Field. Oh, I mean, okay, it's called Spoiler Alert. You know going into it what it's going to be because it literally spoils it for you.
Yeah, especially in all the trailers you see too.
Yeah, you do see. It's based on a book, Spoiler Alert, The Hero Dies. And yeah, I feel like even though they do spoil it for you, I was not prepared.
But I think the way we felt the way we did is because you develop this emotional connection with the characters and seeing their story develop.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, we all know what happens in the end, but like seeing how it goes down.
Yeah.
And just seeing like kind of what they went through together, how many years they were together.
It makes it matter.
Yeah.
So much more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think like you can see anything that's, I mean, not to discredit short films, but you know, we see so much more of this where a short film could be like, oh, a short love story and then somebody dies and it's really devastating. But this, we saw like an hour and a half of their love story, which still is a brief version of what a lifetime would be. But it's, oh, it was really, really heart-wrenching because it's based on a true story. It's based on the memoir by Michael Osiello. And I think especially also it takes place in New York and it's these, you know, people dating. It's the part of it is relatable. Did you feel like it was maybe
yes.
a little too relatable?
It was very relatable to seeing, you know, kind of how they came to be and like mm-hmm. met in the club, never really got each other's names. And then mm-hmm. they stumble across one another again. But yeah, it was just so, I don't know. It hits home on so many levels, but at the same time, it doesn't because like...
We're not at that point.
We're not, yeah. I mean, we can't even find a partner. more or less a date. But, I mean, that's true. But I mean, like, I pray that one day I find love like this mm-hmm. that they had for those 14 years together.
Yeah.
And the tradition that they created at Christmas where they mm-hmm. would look up underneath the tree.
Yeah.
Just like those sweet little things. But I think also what's so touching about this story is that Ben's character wasn't out yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
I forgot about that part.
Jim's character was very much the awkward homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
How did Ben's friend describe him? She was like, yeah, you're totally his type. The like a geek or something. Like,
Yeah.
She described Jim's character in such a way, but it was just so funny because like oftentimes you never think that this kind of couple can happen within the gay community.
Yeah.
It's like the nerd gets the jock. Because mm-hmm. like when we see in their intimate scenes, like he had no problem taking off his clothes.
Right.
And then we have Jim over here who's like, don't take off my shirt.
Yeah.
So good.
No, it was so good. And I feel like why we don't relate to the full story because we don't have, you know, our life partners yet. And we don't, you know, haven't gone through something horrible like this with them. But I think what made it so heart-wrenching is like, this is what everyone aspires for, is this great love story. And it is part of life that, and for many, that somebody suddenly has health issues and things go awry. And it's just those unexpected things that make you appreciate the good parts so much more and like how special their love story really is. And they were kind of living, I don't even want to say like this dream relationship, because I think one part that I loved that's really beautiful about it is when Kit does find out he has cancer, him and Michael aren't together. They've kind of gone their separate ways. They still have their apartment together, but Kit has moved out, lives in a different place. And once Kit finds out that he has cancer, that's kind of when they rekindle things. And they decide to get married because they weren't married before. And it's just kind of this story of their love before the diagnosis and after, and how after it just made them appreciate the before so much more, and how they kind of decided, okay, we only have this much time left together. Like, why are we fighting? Why are we not just appreciating what we have in this moment? Also, I think part of a relationship and going your separate ways for a minute is because you want to fix it in the end, and you know that time apart is going to make things better. But they knew that they weren't going to have that long-term time that they had hoped for, so why not just be with each other for the time being? You know, they were just appreciating each other for what they had. And it's nice because it's a holiday movie, but not really, which I feel like this is a good holiday movie for me. I mean, it's hard. We watched this between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So like, that is the time that you would watch a Christmas movie. So I don't know how well this would, I don't want to say age.
This is only, I think, only for around the holidays.
You'd only watch it then?
I would only watch this around like literally Christmas. And I also think it was released on a very fabulous day.
Your birthday. I know.
December 2nd.
I know.
But yeah, I think this, I don't think you could watch this at any other time and get the same effect. Because yeah, I think when we watch Christmas movies, we're in the Christmas spirit. Mm-hmm. So going into this, like, we see like this Christmas aspect to it, mm-hmm. which I think sets me up to getting into the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
And when you're watching the film, like, it does kind of play a little bit a lot to Christmas. Because like, we see every Christmas in front of their Christmas tree. Lord have mercy. Take a shot every time I say Christmas. And then just like them coming together for Christmas with their friends, and then going up to his parents. Like, I think this is literally just a holiday film. Like, if I were to watch this in the summer, I wouldn't feel right.
Yeah, but not all of it is at Christmas. Like, do you think Annie is a Christmas movie? Because the end is Christmas.
I haven't watched Annie in so long.
Well, I know. I mean, I haven't watched it in forever either, but I think it's interesting because, like, I did Annie around Christmas at my local.
You did Annie?
Yeah.
Were you Annie?
No, because I was in high school.
Oh, that's a scam.
I was in the ensemble. I know.
Ensemble?
Yes.
Scam.
There was no roles for me. I wasn't going to be an orphan. I mean, some of my friends were orphans, but they were 2 years younger than me. So
okay.
No, I had a good time in the ensemble. I was a hobo and a staff member and a New Yorker. So it was fun. But I did that around Christmas, and so many theaters will do that like for their summer stock show. Or it was on Broadway, and it wasn't like a Christmas Carol where they bring just at Christmas. It was, ran for years and years. So I don't know. I always think like, okay, if it's not like Christmas Vacation or it's not like Christmas. I mean, also the poster for this, I guess they are under the Christmas tree. So I guess they are pitching this as a Christmas movie. I don't know though. It's like, I think it was too emotional and not emotional in the Christmas way for me to like want to watch it at Christmas.
But I think like the thing with it though is like the gift with this Christmas is this, the love, I would say, that they have for one another.
Aww.
Like, just that gift they have, because during their time apart, we get to meet Anthony.
Yes. That was kind of a jump scare, honestly. Anthony Porofsky, who I love.
It was just so random.
Yeah.
They could have cast any other person to just play this, like,
co-worker,
but it's really Anthony.
It was probably somebody's friend, and they were like, get him in there. No, and I love Anthony. Like, my freshman year, I went to his cooking show. My junior year, I found out that he was eating at a restaurant, so I went to that restaurant and sat a table away from him. Like, I'm not a stalker, but I was like, oh, if the opportunity's there, because my friend was, anyways.
One of my friends took a picture with him at a bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He said he was very friendly.
Yeah, and I've been to his restaurant a bunch in New York. So yeah, I am a big fan of his. I say that. I don't even follow him on Instagram, but I mean,
so a fake fan.
I'm like, so I've stalked him, but I don't follow him. No, I guess I kind of am a fake fan. I don't know. I enjoy him, and seeing him in this, I didn't know he was in it because I don't follow him.
It was just so random.
But it was like, yeah, something like that. I mean, I was literally telling you earlier about like how I was learning today about this casting for the show Grown-ish and how they had cast like a celebrity for an episode and stuff. And it's like something like that. And then also he doesn't do acting. So it's like, okay, sure. Like, you know, if Nicole Kidman was on the screen, I wouldn't be like, what? Nicole Kidman's in this? Like, I would just think, yeah, she's an actor. But like having a celebrity that's not an actor in something or like this is their first thing just feels weird.
Well, yeah, because at the very end, there's that very intimate scene with Jim, like,
yeah,
saying goodbye to him, like,
mm-hmm,
he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had showed up and he's like, yeah, you can go in and see him and have your time. And then he just walks out and like, I mean, I have no room to talk. I was sobbing like a little baby.
Yeah.
But like watching him cry, like try to cry and like give across this emotion.
Yeah.
I wanted to giggle.
Well, it was funny because he was like, thank you. I don't know. He was like something about like, thank you for letting me or whatever.
And
I was like, oh, but then he like, yeah, but then he like falls into Jim's arms and is like, like crying. So, I mean, it was valid, but I think I turned to you and I was like, oh, he's not even hearing me because you were crying so much. But I was like, oh, he's, that's acting, or said something like that. And then he just like falls into Jim's arms and he's like crying. So I don't know. Will he continue acting? I'm not saying that this burned his career, but was this just like
a weird thing that he,
no, but I don't know if he just did this because he's like, yeah, but I don't know if he wants to be an actor. I think maybe
I just, because looking at him like, Lord have mercy, why am I blinking on the name of their show?
Queer Eye.
Queer Eye. Oh my gosh. The homosexuals are going to drag me. But coming from Queer Eye, where everything is so, like, on a human nature, and he's very...
Well, yeah, it's a reality show. He's just himself. But
that's the thing, though, is, like, seeing him coming from that, like, yeah, even if I were to watch any of these other actors, like, I could still be able to watch him on the screen and not be thinking about that.
Right.
But knowing him from that first...
Yeah.
And then him trying to act...
Yeah.
It took me out of the moment.
Yeah.
It took me out of the moment.
No, I agree. And I often wonder why they do stuff like that, because it's not even like they're marketing it that he's in this. So I don't think it's like drawing anybody into it. But I just feel like it was a favor, or he's friends with somebody, or I don't know, he produced it, or I don't, gave money, something. I don't know what he did, but he's in this. And I mean, a very, very small part. We're talking a lot about it, but
he plays like two lines. Role, though.
Okay, true. Yeah, because he does kind of break up their relationship.
Well, not that he breaks it up.
Yeah.
But like, it's what always Jim is thinking about.
True.
Because he's always like...
He's kind of self-conscious because like Antony's Antony.
Yeah, and then he's like, why were you at the office so late? Oh, who did you go to dinner with? Oh, okay. Got you.
Yeah.
But then we see this really sweet moment, though, like when you talk about like the love that they have for one another and like, you know, really realizing their time is short,
mm-hmm,
is when they're outside and he's smoking the joint for the first time. And he just asks him, he's like, did you sleep with him? And he just goes, yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. Why'd you like me? And like, but there was no like real anger that you see come out. Right,
because there was no point at that time.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
It reminds me actually, the movie, The Worst Person in the World, there's a similar scene in that where the girl in it, Julie, she's cheated on her boyfriend, sort of, and then they break up and he's dying of cancer and they don't like rekindle their relationship, but she does go and visit him and they talk about her cheating and he's like, you know, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, I don't know, I didn't dare to. And it's just this sort of similar thing, and he's not mad about it because he knows that he's dying and there's no point in being upset about that. So I don't know, I think there's some beauty to that, and I think that's what makes the end of this film, if anything, not just really emotional, but gives it that bittersweetness, is like just being grateful for the time that you have, I feel like is really like the moral of the story, and appreciating people and not, I don't know, it's easy to be upset, especially when you're grieving about this sort of stuff and not having your partner in life for your whole life like you had expected and like you vowed to each other. But this film just kind of shows that you can, I don't know, like just be grateful for the time you have with people and appreciate your memories. And the big thing in this is like Kit is a photographer and he takes photos from like their first date, which is so cute. Oh my god, it's so cute. It's stuff like that though that like kind of drives me like wild, because
it's just the little things.
Yeah, but all the best love stories have like on our first date, blah, 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 like this. I saw a TikTok today and this girl was saying like, don't laugh. TikTok is a legit form of social media, okay? I do see TikToks. I don't mean to mention it like it's a news article, but I did see, I read this article. No, I saw this TikTok today and it was this girl and she was saying her vows. I wanted to send it to you, but I was like, oh, I don't want him to cry today. But now I'm talking to you about
literally
it.
Literally after I sent you videos of me crying from 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But it was this girl and she was just saying like on her first date, they were walking, her and the guy, and they saw a penny on the ground and they were going to pick it up. And she's like, oh, it's not heads up. And he was like, oh, no, like, we don't have to take it, but like, let's flip it so it's heads up for the next person. And then she was saying during her vows, like, that was the first date. And that's when she just realized, like, he always is willing to do things for others and all this. It was so cute. It was really cute. But it's like stuff like that, that it's like, okay, like taking photos of somebody on like a first date, like, is cute if you get married. But then it's like, if you don't, like, that's creepy. It's a waste and it's creepy. And then it's like, oh, okay. So I don't know.
But I don't know. I wouldn't say it's creepy. I don't think it's creepy.
Creepy to take photos of somebody on a first date?
Oh, on a first date?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if the chemistry is there.
I would not. Why would I take a photo of somebody?
If the chemistry is there. Like, if you know you're going to see this person again.
I've had that happen before, though, and I didn't want to take a photo of them.
That the chemistry was there, or?
Yes, but like, why would I sit there and be, how do you even approach that?
Well,
you're sitting there and you're like, could I take a photo of you?
Well, no, I just be like, oh my gosh, I know this is so wild, but like photography is my thing.
But it's not.
I just wanted to
They'd be like, really? Why didn't you tell me? Oh,
I just wanted to know, like, if you'd let me take a picture of you. Because like, I just really like to capture the beauty that's in front of me.
Oh, I think that would creep me out though. It was cute how you said it, but I think if a guy said that to me, I'd be like, please no.
Yeah, but how many drinks in would you be? And then you'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so hot.
Okay.
You'd be like, oh my gosh, no man's ever asked me that before.
Yeah, but then I don't want random photos of it. Okay, anyways. It's cute for their story. It's cute
it is.
For a love story because it comes full circle. And that's the issue that I have is you don't – no, not the issue with the movie.
Oh, I was like
No, not the issue with the movie, but the issue I have with that like actually happening in real life is you don't know that it's going to come full circle. So in the moment, it feels silly to do that. But it is really cute on your wedding day to be like, on our first date, I took this photo of you. Or like, yeah. This is our first photo. Like, that's cute. But I guess I would chicken out before I actually get to that point of like, oh, let me actually take the photo. You know, I would just not because I'd be like, this is weird.
Yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying. It would come across very weird. But let's talk about the true narrator of this story, mm-hmm. Sally.
She narrates it?
The true, like, I think she, like, helped put this together.
She's not the narrator. Michael is.
Yeah, but I'm going to call her.
She doesn't narrate any of it.
I don't care. I'm calling her the narrator.
You're making it sound like she does a voiceover.
She speaks facts.
As her character? Okay. Michael is the narrator.
Yeah, we understand. Okay, folks. Michael's the narrator.
Okay, you mean the real star of the movie. Okay.
No, I don't think she's a star.
The real pinnacle of the movie. The real kicker of the movie.
Folks, we're going to stick with me calling her the narrator, even though she doesn't narrate.
Narrator is like a title. Like, you narrate a movie.
All right, well, folks, here we go. Sally is just wonderful in this because she didn't know her son was gay.
So true.
But she knew something was up when she came to visit him because he had just gotten out of the hospital. And she's like, I brought all this chicken soup. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And Michael's there and he's like, oh, I'll put it all in his kitchen. And she's like, he knows where all, like, he was
oh,
like,
and he's going to grab the extra sheets in the closet.
Yes,
yeah.
She's like, how do you know him? And kid's like, oh, he's just a friend. And then he's like, oh, I'll grab that. I'll do this. And she's like, a friend that knows where all this is. And then she's just like, what's going on? Like something. She's like, why won't you tell me?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you know, just blurts out he's gay.
Yeah.
And then Michael's like, I'm gay too. But then also kind of adds.
And then the roommate.
I was like, what kind of adds the humor to it is that like Kit has this roommate who doesn't speak. All she eats is bagels.
Yeah.
And cream cheese. And she just goes, and me too. It was so funny. And then, like, we just see the continuation of, like, Michael and Sally's character, like, growing closer and closer.
Yeah.
When they go on their runs together.
Yeah.
And, like, this is also, I think, was it the first or second time they announced, when they visited, that they announced that his cancer?
Yeah. That we saw, at least. I'm sure.
Yeah. But he's just asking her for all this advice. And she's like, all you can do is run the race that's in front of you.
So true.
And I know people are probably like, yeah, what's your point? Like, that's so stupid. But in this moment, like, just hearing Sally say that to him, like, knowing the circumstances, and she had such a, like, positive outlook regardless.
Yeah.
And, like, Michael says, I mean, not Michael, but Kit's like, it's gotten worse, yada, yada. And she's like, you'll fight this. You're strong. Like, they never really showed any weakness. I feel like his parents, Kit's parents, were very strong for him.
Yeah, it was nice.
Except for the end at the hospital. Oh. they're all this, oh. But also, can we talk about how the ending also, I felt, was just like, it made me think of Twilight for a hot second. I don't know if you've ever watched Twilight, yeah. Part two of Breaking Dawn?
Okay.
Where it was the Vision. Like, they do the fight scene, and they're I don't remember. I don't know which Twilight, I think it's Twilight Breaking Dawn part two. But anyways, so they're like all fighting, yada, yada, yada. And it's just a vision that she's having, mm-hmm. but only one person ended up dying.
Okay.
And like, because everybody in the audience is like, oh my God, this is how Twilight ends. Okay. At the end of spoiler alert.
Oh, and then it's like psych.
At the end of spoiler alert, they kind of filmed it like it was an episode.
Right. Well, the whole thing is like that Michael is a TV journalist. And he writes for the TV Guide, and that he felt like his whole life has been like a sitcom sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like interjected with these scenes of his home life, which I just felt like some of that was missing because it shows his home life. But then we find out that his mom passed away from cancer. And the last part that – or yeah, I think it was cancer. In the last like section that we see of him in his sort of little sitcom world is him like coming home and being like, mom. And like, it was kind of weird to me because it was like,
because then he just sits down.
And then he just sits down. I didn't know if it was trying to say like, oh no, like he's come home and he forgot that his mom died, or he's come home and like the mom is at the hospital. Like it just showed that, but he didn't look like, there was no like arc to it of him like, oh, why am I calling for my mom? Like, I forgot she passed away. Like, I don't know. It was just kind of weird. But yeah, the final scene in this when Kit is dying, it goes back to that sort of sitcom.
I'm crying my eyes out, and then there's like, cut. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, this cannot be a Twilight moment.
Yeah.
But then, like, you just see Michael asking questions. He just, like, interviews him.
Yeah.
And then he goes back in there, lays down.
I really liked that. I wish it would have blended better with the little sitcoms. Okay, have you ever seen WandaVision? WandaVision, each episode. No, you haven't. It's okay. No, it's okay.
No, and the gays are going to drag me again.
They love WandaVision?
Apparently, the, like.
Oh, Elizabeth Olsen? They love.
Is she the one that was, like, the evil witch?
Oh, no, that's Catherine Hahn.
Okay, yeah. They love were her. All, like, obsessed with her.
Oh, okay.
Apparently made like all these like little memes about her and stuff.
Yeah, probably.
But, okay, yeah. Continue on with WandaVision.
No. So WandaVision, like each episode is sort of like an era of sort of like a family TV show. So it has like the 70s are like the Brady Bunch. The 90s is sort of like a Full House sort of thing. Like it kind of goes through all of those. And I kind of wish – I mean, not that they would steal that from WandaVision, but I wish that – spoiler alert, had done that because it kind of went from like my childhood was all a sitcom and then like we didn't see any of the middle and then now the sitcom is like coming back to him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I wish like they wouldn't have done all the sitcom things as him as like 8 years old. Like I wish like the first one would have been like 8 years old. The second one, he was like 15.
And him like
the
next, growing up to where
yeah,
he is now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think the reason why they did that jumped. Though is this. To show the connection he had with his mom. Because he was like, my mom was my best friend.
Yeah.
And then, like...
But they could have done that. They could have just had different moments. Like, the first one, he's 8-year-old. The second one...
But his mom died when he was young.
Okay, but, like, then later, so he's, be, like, at graduation, and, like, everyone's moms are there, and his is... Like, moments in his life where that really hit him. No. It's okay. No. We can agree to disagree.
But I do think, though, like, the very last clip that... you just talked about like mm-hmm. him coming home. I don't think that was really necessary.
Yeah, no.
I felt like
right, that's
that
where
was just
I...
a fluff moment, like just fill in some time.
Yeah, so then I feel like they either should have cut that or they should have put another one in between. It didn't feel like the last sitcom part that we would see in this, and yet it was until the mm-hmm. end, and then it didn't connect to the end. Or I wish – no, I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know how they could have done it. Actually, I do. And it's the way that you disagree with me. So it's okay. We'll agree to disagree.
But speaking about his mother, let's talk about one of the funniest moments in this film that she got him hooked on.
Oh my God, the Smurfs?
The Smurfs.
Which is funny because my mom has a Smurfs obsession.
Okay.
He has that connection with his mom where she loved the Smurfs and my mom loves the Smurfs. Like I haven't seen her collection in a long time, but the little like figurines, I think she has like over 300 of them.
Miss Tina?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. She really was into the Smurfs.
Okay.
Which is funny because, like, I guess the Smurfs was a thing, like, for our parents' generation because, like, nobody really knows. See, nobody talks about it anymore.
But see, for my mother, it was, like, how we talked about, was Beanie Babies.
I thought Beanie Babies was the 90s, though.
I don't know, but that's what my mother, like...
She was into.
Yeah, because like she gave me her entire. Well, I mean, when I was younger, I would like I had memorized all their names, their birth dates.
Oh my god!
No, I was like, that's what fascinated me because, spoiler alert, I'm an only child, so it kind of got a little lonely. So I had to make friends with the ones around me, which was inanimate objects. But like, yeah, but no, like I knew their birthdays, their little stories about themselves.
Oh, on their little tags.
On their tags, okay. Yeah. And I have collectible ones, like when we would go to the trade lot. Which other people would probably know as a flea market.
Oh, okay.
I would just go to this old lady that had Beanie Babies, and I would always get a new Beanie Baby when I would come home because I just love them so much.
How much do those go for?
It depends. Honestly, it depends on what Beanie Baby you have. Like, there's this purple bear that I know goes for quite a bit, and there was each one that's also for your birth month.
Oh, okay.
So there's like a January, February, like, But I never could find a December one. So if anybody out there listening to this has the December Beanie Baby.
Hit you up.
Hit me up.
Okay.
Hit me up.
No, I mean, it's nice because that's like a connection that he has with his mom is the Smurfs. And when he first meets Kit, he's very apprehensive to bring Kit back to his apartment. And he says something about how he lives in, I think, Jersey City.
Yes.
And then how, oh, they're painting in his apartment and all that stuff. And then finally when he lets him in, it's like Smurfs everywhere. But
well, because he just sees the living room first. He's like, wow, you know, that's a whole lot. But then we go into the bedroom and
yeah,
they're all
it's
like
another story.
Facing the bed. And he's just like, wow, you have a whole lot.
Yeah. No, it's cute because like that for me, I would be like, okay, this guy's a freak. Bye. But he, you know, Kit sees him through for that and gives Michael a chance and look where it took them. So
I know, but it's just so funny.
Maybe there's some lessons we can learn in this. Maybe we should take a few notes of like, oh, maybe you should just not.
Okay. What I think is so cute, and it was his Christmas gift. Well, actually, when he gave him, Michael gave Kit the magician. Like that.
Yes.
Like collectible magician kit.
Yeah.
But then Kit's like, I have a surprise for you.
Because
like,
he had said he does magic tricks.
Yeah, he's like, I have a surprise for you for your Christmas gift. This is something I'm taking notes on.
Oh my god. You so would too.
He just goes into his bedroom and he's like, this is your space. And he had his little name tag that said Michael. And he's like, this is where you put your keys. Your sleeping clothes can go here. Your jackets, your shirts, and your shoe space. Yeah. And I was like, I'm in love.
It is really nice because that's like a nice gift. It's not like, here's an item for you. And, you know, it's welcoming somebody into your space. And like, whenever you want to be here, you can. Like, I want you to be here. So that is really nice.
Yeah.
That would be really nice if somebody did that for me. We can do it for each other.
Yeah.
I'll make you
like, we do a lot of things for each other.
Yeah.
Because no man will.
Oh, gee.
What?
Okay.
If a man ever did this for us, I think we would probably cry because we're being treated how we should be finally treated.
So true.
So, like, if any of you out there are single, live in New York for Maddie, you can live in Jersey or Long Island.
Oh my god.
Or New York for me.
You can live in the tri-state area.
The tri-state
for you.
Area, that'd actually. Yeah, because Maddie's like, if you don't live within 10 minutes, this is long distance. And then honestly, I'm like, if you live it all the way on the other end of Long Island, we can make this work. If you live in the Hamptons, we will make this work.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, just make us a closet space. And
I mean, Michael was living in New York, and he was seeing Kit was living in New York, and he was seeing Michael, and Michael was living in Jersey City. So that's long distance to me.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's
like,
it's another state.
This story could work for me, but I think
for you, no.
For you, no.
Anyways, okay, we don't need to get into our dating crazies.
This is what spoiler alert is like.
Inspiring us. Yeah. Well, we'll just take some notes from this. Only the good parts, though, because I don't want a sad love story like this. But it does make for a, you know, very emotional film. I left just feeling like, oh, you know, you just got to love people while you have them in your lives and just appreciate people for in the moment. And
no, I love that's what you left with. And then I think I caught Maddie like kind of giggling at me just one point because I was holding my – like I was sobbing people.
Yeah,
like,
you were.
I was sobbing and like – kind of wheezing, like I was loud, like I was not trying to be dramatic, but like this just, as I mentioned before, just truly lets me see that like this kind of love is real, even though this is a film.
Yeah,
but based on a true story, people. So like this can happen. But just knowing that there are some people out there who are willing to go great lengths to show how much they appreciate you and love you. Because, like, we've talked a lot about them taking photographs of one another. And when Kit's sick, at the very end, they go on their beach trip mm-hmm. with the family. But we see Michael is now the one taking the pictures.
Yeah.
And then also, let's talk about Michael's award-winning performance when he said, gosh. Get my husband a damn bed.
Yeah.
You know, come on. Like, I just want a man to do those things for me.
All right. So moral of the story is we're going to find Caleb his very own Kit or Michael. And, you know, you will have that love story. I should start a matchmaking podcast.
Honestly, you know.
But first I should help myself. And on that note, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening today. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform, or you can follow us on Instagram at The Cinema Chicks and on TikTok at Cinema Chicks. And if you want to be friends, you can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Daisy Rancourt and on Letterboxd at Madeline Daisy. And before we end today, we'd like to thank our sponsors. Admiring the Christmas Tree from Below. Admiring the Christmas Tree from Below.
Smurfs.
And this film for giving hope to hopeless romantics. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad we had that talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.